It's the late 1960s, and Charon Pokapan, destined to become the kitchen of the world, was flourishing. Their feed business had risen to the top in Thailand, and the Chitawatnon family at its helm had each carved their own niche within the empire. To an outsider, CP appeared robust and successful.
But Danin, the current president, sensed an underlying challenge. Business and family, tightly interwoven, were at risk of entangling into an unmanageable knot. Worried, Danin reached out to his eldest brother, who agreed to meet him in his office for a discussion. Seated in the president's office, Danin brightens up.
Bijaran!
In Thailand, respect for elders is paramount. The honorific P preceding his brother's name, Jaran, signifies Danin's respect. Conversely, Jaran would typically address his younger brother as Nong.
Nong Danin, you seem troubled. Is everything all right?
Danin dives straight into his concern.
I'm worried about our company structure. It's not suited for CP's future growth.
Not suited? We've been expanding smoothly since Father started in 1921.
I know, but I doubt Father would have wanted us to continue this way.
Danin notices a flicker of confusion on Jaran's face.
Listen, right now we're juggling being both owners and managers of CP. It's worked for us so far, but I'm starting to question if it's really a long-term solution. My concern is what happens if, someday, our family disagreements start seeping into our business choices. That could happen, you know, and if it does, it might really hurt CP.
Come on.
Jaran chuckles dismissively.
That's unlikely.
Perhaps. But think about it. It's the same reason why Father encouraged us to move out after marriage.
Danin had a point. While their father didn't assume the brothers would come into conflict, it made good sense to plan for it, shift everyone out, and avoid opportunities for disputes to fester. It seemed smart to approach the business structure with the same foresight. So Jaran's demeanor shifted, acknowledging the possibility.
So, Nong Danin, what's your solution?
Separate ownership from management.
In the late 1960s, Danin embarked on a crucial mission to persuade his family to separate ownership from management within CP. His eldest brother, the chairman, was on board with the idea.
However, this approach, while standard practice for many companies, raised an important question. Who would lead the company after this separation? Should they look outside for a new CEO?
All indications pointed to Danin as the right choice. He had successfully led CP's feed business, its most profitable sector at the time, demonstrating his potential to guide the entire company.
But reactions to the proposal varied among the family.
Some members were quick to agree,
while others had their doubts.
Nevertheless, by 1969, a consensus was reached, and Danin was appointed president of CP Group,
supported by a team of external managers.
With CP undergoing this transformation and Danin at the forefront, the stakes were high. He was now tasked with navigating the company into a new era. Because, as Danin himself had argued, if he didn't succeed in this role, he would have to step aside and let others take the lead.
From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 3 of a 5-part series, The World's Kitchen. Thank you. meteoric rise of CP Group to global prominence was propelled by two major ventures. First, its pioneering move into China.
So pioneering, in fact, that CP was the first foreign investor in the nation, bearing the registration number 001.
Second is the development of CP Foods,
which is what this episode is about.
So, you want to take the lead?
Sure. CP Foods, renowned for its mastery in vertical integration, handles the entire food production process from farm to table. This encompasses animal feed production, farming operations for swine, poultry, and aquaculture, and culminates in the processing and packaging of both raw and cooked food products.
Remarkably, it's believed that over half the global population has consumed products from CP, embodying their vision of being the kitchen of the world.
Starting in the late 1960s, CP Group's ambitious vision started to become a reality, only after shifting from a family-run model to a professionally managed structure, separating ownership from day-to-day operations.
This pivotal decision brought in seasoned experts to lead the company, marking a new era for CP and profoundly influencing its future direction.
In 1969, Dan enrose from overseeing the feed business to leading the entire CP Group. In this role, he aimed to propel CP to new heights, believing the key lay in addressing a seemingly insurmountable challenge.
And one particular obstacle stands out clearly. Looking back at his past, he recalls his time working with the Thai government's egg cooperative. Back then, the cooperative faced a significant challenge: the manual defeathering of chickens. Due to the birds' varying sizes,
some differing by as much as 50%.
Each chicken required individual attention, slowing down the process. This unresolved issue would eventually lead to the cooperative's demise.
Now, in 1969, half a decade later, Dannon was convinced that if CP could solve what the entire Thai cooperative could not, well, they wouldn't just be at the forefront in Thailand. They would likely be regional leaders.
And with time, he would be proven right. Finding a solution to the chicken size dilemma would be a crucial step in CP's journey to becoming the kitchen of the world.
But the question was, where to begin?
Seeking insights and potential solutions, Dannon turned to a trusted contact at J.P. Morgan Chase, who facilitated a connection with the Rockefellers, a family that might just hold the key to CP's next breakthrough.
The Rockefellers were one of the richest families in the world, and their great-grandson happened to be managing Arbor Acres, a prestigious brand in the poultry industry. When he learned that he would be visiting Arbor Acres, Dannon was excited. But it was the early 1970s, and it was a strange time to fly.
That's right. In the 1960s through to the early 1970s, flying was a luxury. Passengers boarded planes in their finest attire, with in-flight entertainment ranging from live music to fashion shows. Meals were even served on delicate ceramics and silverware. Adjusting for today's standards, the cost of travel was estimated to be 8 to 12 times higher.
But despite the expense, the potential benefits were too significant to ignore. The Shirawatnons, especially the eldest sibling, insisted that Dannon go. This flight, as Dannon would later describe, was pivotal in shaping CP Group's destiny.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Welcome on board Empire's flight S2E3, flying out of Thailand. The flight to America is long. So long, in fact, that you probably have the time to send this podcast to a friend. If you think you know anyone who might enjoy the series, do share it with them. It'll truly help the podcast. But for now, please sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of the flight. Thank you.
Upon landing, Danin's immediate mission was to head to Maine, the heartland of Arbor Acres. There, nestled amidst the scenic landscapes, lay the promise of a unique chicken breed, one so remarkable that it nearly defied Danin's belief.
Danin walked into a sprawling poultry farm in Maine, where he was likely greeted by a knowledgeable farmhand who was expecting him. They strolled past large, well-organized coops filled with chickens. Danin, looking around, could hardly contain his excitement.
This is quite the operation you have here. So different from what we see in Thailand.
Yes, sir. We've optimized for broiler production. These birds are specially bred for meat.
They paused in front of a large coop, observing the chickens. Then Danin noticed something incredible. They were all almost uniform in size.
I heard about these broilers. But when you actually see them, wow. Could you tell me more about them? How do they differ from traditional breeds?
The term broiler chickens is quite revealing about the species. To broil typically means to cook by direct exposure to heat, akin to grilling. Essentially, broiler chickens are a result of meticulous crossbreeding, designed with a singular purpose: efficient large-scale production for consumption.
Selected primarily for their rapid growth genes and size uniformity, a broiler chick, starting at about 50 grams, rapidly swells to around 4 kilograms in just 2 months. Imagine a human infant growing to triple the weight of an average adult in a similar period.
Now, visualize this extraordinary growth happening with each bird, consistently and with little variation in size. This consistent, accelerated growth is what revolutionized modern poultry farming. It enabled the standardization of chicken processing, brought immense efficiencies, and made protein more widely accessible.
But this efficiency bears a significant cost for the chickens themselves. Their rapid growth often leads to severe health issues, ranging from collapsing skeletal structures to overstressed organs. In fact, most broiler chickens are incapable of surviving in the wild without human assistance.
Conditions vary from farm to farm. Overcrowding, for instance, can lead to aggressive behavior among chickens, leading some farmers to blunt their beaks to prevent fatalities.
But to the rest of the world, these problems don't matter if it means rising costs that consumers cannot afford.
In turn, suppliers such as CP can only optimize for the consumer, which was why Danin found himself mostly excited after learning about the broiler breed.
Incredible! In Thailand, a typical household might raise maybe 100 chickens. With this breed, I figure they could raise as many as 10,000 birds.
The farmhand, sharing in Danin's enthusiasm, gestured for him to follow, hinting at another revelation just around the corner.
In front of Danin was a huge whiteboard, meticulously organized with colorful markers. It displayed detailed diagrams, flowcharts, and schedules, illustrating the intricate processes and timings for delivering feed and medicine, as well as timelines for repurchasing the mature chickens.
Danin looked curiously at the board, his eyes widening in realization of the efficiency and precision of the system. The farmhand, noticing Danin's interest, smiles in response.
You like what you see? Well, this is what we call contract production.
In the United States, contract farming had become a widely adopted model. This system entails a feed company acquiring chicks from breeders, then allocating them to farmers for rearing. The responsibilities of the feed company include providing the necessary feed and medication. Once the chickens reach the desired size, they are repurchased by the feed company for processing.
Danin knew that this was the missing piece. Now CP had everything it needed. A consistent chicken size and an efficient process to deliver it. With a hopeful heart, he returned to Thailand, without realizing that this would only be the start of an arduous road to complete vertical integration. In 1970, CP forged a pivotal deal with Arbor Acres, introducing broiler chicks from the US to Thailand. The plan was straightforward: to transplant the American model of contract farming directly into Thai agriculture. Since broiler chickens and contract farming were common in the US, CP expected Thai farmers to readily embrace this approach.
However, the reality was starkly different. Upon introduction, the concept was met with confusion and skepticism from local farmers.
What exactly are broiler chickens? Are you suggesting we rear over 10 times our usual number of chickens? Impossible.
How can we be sure you won't exploit us as cheap labor?
The CP team, initially taken aback, persisted, organizing numerous discussions to explain the entire process. Yet, for many, the proposition seemed too good to be true.
In northern Thailand, skepticism seemed even more pronounced, perhaps because the mechanics of contract farming bore an uncanny resemblance to existing tobacco contracts. Thai tobacco farmers in the north were already engaged in similar contractual arrangements with tobacco dryers, making them wary of new deals.
Faced with mounting challenges, even Dannin, the president of CP, stepped in to personally reassure the farmers.
Listen, regardless of market fluctuations, we guarantee to repurchase the chickens once they reach the specified size. It's written in the contract.
The turning point came when a single farmer in Siracha Chonburi, which is about 120 kilometers southeast of Bangkok, decided to take the leap of faith. Gradually, as neighboring farmers observed CP deliver on its promise, more began to join.
But the victory was bittersweet. These small-scale farmers were unable to meet the anticipated capacity of 10,000 birds per farm, managing only between 3,000 to 5,000.
Nonetheless, encouraged by the consistent growth and commitment shown by the early adopters, the CP team doubled down on their efforts, tirelessly engaging with more farmers. It took a long, hard 5 years from when CP first agreed to import broiler chickens until enough farmers finally joined the program.
With a sufficient number of farmers on board, CP's team embarked on an ambitious venture of vertical integration. They concurrently invested in an egg incubation facility, a feed plant, and a slaughterhouse, all strategically located near the farmers. This domestic setup was designed to streamline the entire process, significantly reducing the time from farm to supermarket for chicken products.
This journey towards vertical integration was challenging yet transformative. With each new facility, the process became faster and more cost-effective, laying the foundation for CP's playbook on vertical integration. A network of tightly integrated facilities processing farm animals in a singular, efficient hub.
For Dannin, it was a huge victory, a personal triumph against his then greatest setback, the collapse of the cooperative. During this transformative period, Dannin embarked on numerous expeditions, both within Thailand and abroad, in pursuit of innovative methods and best practices.
His travels to Japan and Taiwan were particularly enlightening. There, he observed a unique philosophy towards agricultural products, recognizing their value beyond mere commodities. This philosophy inspired Dannon to adopt what he termed the two highs approach.
Ensuring high agricultural product prices.
And high minimum income for farmers.
He believed this strategy would create a win-win situation, benefiting everyone in the supply chain, from the farmer to the consumer.
It's difficult to understand the true impact of the two highs, but an insightful analysis by the Asian Development Bank on contract farming sheds light on its profound influence.
This study uncovered that roughly one-third of farmers who engaged in contract farming did so following their neighbors, who had seen a noticeable increase in income through this model.
As the years progressed, Dannon consistently sought global inspiration to enhance CP's prowess in food vertical integration. By 1972, a pivotal partnership was struck with a Japanese firm, introducing rapid freezing technology to Thailand. This innovation transformed CP's poultry operations. Chickens slaughtered at their Bang Na facility could now be instantaneously frozen, sealing in nutrition and freshness.
This technological leap revolutionized CP's business model. The new frozen chickens boasted an extended shelf life, opening doors to regional export markets. Ironically, with a significant portion of their products winding their way back to Japan, the origin of this freezing technology.
But CP didn't stop there. They began collaborating closely with their family's seed business, delving into agricultural advancements. The result was a new breed of engineered corn, tailored to be more robust and nutritious, perfectly suited for animal feed. This seamless integration of cutting-edge technology and agricultural expertise continued to fuel CP's momentum, thrusting them forward into the next century.
However, as they navigated this path of rapid expansion, an unforeseen crisis loomed on the horizon. It was a formidable challenge, a force of nature poised to test the very resilience of their burgeoning empire.
It's now 2004, and CP Foods has evolved into an even more formidable titan than ever before. Their pioneering work in vertical farming, initially applied to poultry, has now been successfully adapted to pigs and prawns.
And CP's innovation doesn't stop there. They ventured into animal genetics, shifting from importing breeds to creating them. These new variants come engineered with accelerated growth, superior flavor, and enhanced disease resistance, setting new standards in the industry.
But as CP Foods basks in the glory of its global exports, there's one critical detail you should know. Robust genetics don't necessarily mean invincibility. When breeds, despite their resilience, are genetically similar, they become more susceptible to diseases, particularly in the intensely populated environments of modern farming.
Consider the efficiency of Thailand's chicken farms as an example. Today, these farms house 4 to 6 times more chickens per unit than they did back in the 1980s, a period marking the start of CP's industry revolution. This remarkable increase, while showcasing CP's groundbreaking innovations, simultaneously introduces new biosecurity risks.
In 1999, a virus surfaced in avian populations, seemingly under control. It lacked virulence and deadliness.
Or so it appeared. In reality, this virus was simply lying in wait. By 2002, it had evolved into H5N1, a rapidly mutating and highly lethal strain.
Vaccinations for chickens as an option to address concerns about a bird flu pandemic. More than 58 million birds across the country have been infected, and now the virus has spread to other mammals.
Its initial carriers, ducks, geese, and swans, unwittingly became vectors. These waterfowl, journeying vast distances, carried the virus far beyond their habitats.
By January 2004, the whispers of a looming pandemic turned into a roar. H5N1 was identified in Thailand's poultry farms, igniting regional alarm.
So, basic question, if you eat a bird or consume, eggs that have had contact with this virus, could we get it?
And as these migratory birds continued their flight, so did the virus. Within a month, it reached 10 countries.
In response, Thailand initiated urgent measures, conducting mass testing and culling of poultry. 1 million chickens were destroyed, leaving farmers helpless.
Today, the authorities came and destroyed 4,000 of my chickens, and with it, my existence.
But the virus was unyielding.
And our gravest fears materialized. A young boy from Kanchanaburi, presenting with severe pneumonia, was rushed to Sirirat Hospital in Bangkok. Tests confirmed the dreaded truth. He was infected with H5N1. This case marked a grim revelation. The virus was zoonotic, capable of jumping from birds to humans.
However, the most tragic victims were the chickens. Packed tightly in their coops, they inadvertently became perfect vessels for rapid viral spread. The outbreak necessitated drastic measures. Over 40 million chickens were culled. CP faced a dire decision. Could the remaining chickens, spared from the cull, still be sold?
The fear surrounding H5N1, however, was overwhelming. Despite its limited spread to humans, the virus was lethal, claiming the lives of half of those it infected. And its ability to adapt swiftly to treatments only escalated fears.
Finally, the risk was deemed too high. Nations worldwide, wary of the threat, began imposing bans on Thai poultry. Japan, a crucial market for CP, accounting for about 20% of their business, imposed an outright ban.
For CP, operating on razor-thin margins and relying on volume for profit, the loss of 20% of their business was a catastrophic hit. It appeared that CP was on the brink of collapse.
But unbeknownst to many, a strategic gamble made a decade earlier was about to become their lifeline. In the late 1980s, a global trend was emerging: the rise of the microwave oven. Thailand, too, was caught in this wave. During this period, Dannin engaged in insightful discussions with a senior Taiwanese official overseeing Taiwan's livestock industry. Curious about potential lessons from Taiwan, Dannin received a piece of advice that would prove pivotal.
You should definitely get into food processing.
This counsel, combined with the growing popularity of microwaves, prompted Dannin to make a strategic move. CP ventured into constructing a state-of-the-art facility capable of processing finished meats into a variety of products, including fried chicken, nuggets, pork steaks,
and the soon-to-be iconic CP whole shrimp wonton. Now fast forward to 2004, when Japan's ban on fresh Thai chicken struck. It was then that CP realized an opportunity in their crisis. Their processing facility was outfitted to produce cooked chickens,
which, fortunately, were still eligible for import. Acting swiftly, CP leveraged and expanded its existing partnerships with Japanese producers and restaurant chains. Gradually, they managed to recover the lost volume, stabilizing their foothold in the industry.
At that time, the team couldn't foresee the significance of this pivot. It's clear the move was necessary, and it spurred innovation, leading to an expanded product range. But what they didn't anticipate was that Japan's ban would persist for nearly a decade.
That's right. It wasn't until 2013 that Japan lifted its ban, allowing Thai fresh chicken imports once again.
In the meantime, between 2003 and 2009, the world grappled with 1,141 outbreaks of H5N1. Throughout this tumultuous period, CP Group not only endured, but also adapted and thrived.
A significant factor behind this resilience was the invaluable experience CP Foods gained during the initial H5N1 outbreak. But another key to their enduring success lay in the vast interconnected network of the larger CP Group. In the face of regional challenges,
CP's diverse global presence became its strength.
When one area faced difficulties,
others remained robust, ensuring the conglomerate's overall stability. Among its various geographical sectors, China would play a huge role in CP Group's overall fortunes, bearing the mark of 001 as the first foreign company to ever step foot on China soil. From 1UP Media, this is Empires, episode 3 of a 5-part series, The World's Kitchen. Next on Empires, we delve into the formidable influence of CP China, a journey that spans beyond foods to encompass even motorbikes, revealing the multifaceted might of a global titan. Follow us so you won't miss out on episode 4 of our 5-part series. China is in our name. Empires is a 1UP Media original, produced and written by Guang Jin, edited by Alex, audio experience by Ethan Sam, additional engineering by Ashley from 1UP Media, and narrated by Luis Cruz and Claire Bernal. International research by Sonia, Kuyet, and Jiamin from 1UP Media. A quick word on our reenactments and dramatizations. While we can't know exactly what they say, think, or feel at the moment, it is all based on research. Thank you for listening.